Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
The number one source for women's tackle football news on Twitter 24/7. We are here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. UltimateSportsTalk.com covers major sports, so check it out. I am your host, Erica Lynn Anderson, and we will be talking women's gridiron playoffs and NFL stuff. I am joined with Eric Brown. Unfortunately, Nkeshi cannot be with us for the next 2 weeks, but our prayers and thoughts are with her and her family right now. So, Eric, how are you?
Pretty good. Hanging in there. Can't complain. Got the weekend. Got to get ready for Monday, but so far it's still the weekend, so I'll concentrate on that.
That's true, yeah. It was a busy weekend. I had my husband had his 20th high school reunion, so we went to that this weekend.
Oh, cool.
It was pretty fun. Yeah.
Did
it was
you dance?
A cool, busy weekend, though. I did dance. I did. It was awesome because they were playing, like, old school stuff, because it was their 20th.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun, It was like Baby Got Back and all that kind of stuff. It was fun. So.
Right. Yeah,
I liked
fun.
It. for sure. So let's get into the No Joke Football Huddle and talk women's gridiron playoffs. The huddle is sponsored by Zazzle.com. You can go to our shop and get some cool stuff like tees, hoodies, and gifts that you can customize. Zazzle.com/gridironbeauties. Every sale helps us promote another talented player internationally on our social media platforms. If you use the code ORDERSHIP10, you can save 10% now. I also want to let you know we have a new contest. It ends July 31st, so you've got a little bit of time. You've got like 12 days or so. So what you need to do, you need to take a selfie with the No Joke Football tee on and Instagram or tweet it to Gridiron Beauties. So it's at Gridiron Beauties, and on Instagram it's Gridiron Beauties. And you will be entered to win a $100 Victoria's Secret gift card. So that's, it's free to do, so jump on there and get that done. Another contest we want to remind you guys about. Sam Gordon Instagram contest by Nike. Are you fast? Show your fast by submitting a video to at Nike Young Athletes Instagram account, and if your video is chosen, Nike will add super cool special effects. So definitely get on that, you guys. So let's talk WFA. The American Conference Championship game is the 9-1 San Diego Surge at the undefeated Dallas Elite. They are 10-0. So I found an interesting stat at neilrosendahl.com in which this is the fifth straight season that the American Conference champion will come from San Diego or Dallas. So that is certainly an impressive stat for those two cities. They're obviously doing something right over there. The Surge won the championship back in 2012 and are looking for another. They are looking for their fourth conference championship in 5 years. And the Elite are looking to bring a sixth conference championship to Dallas. Now, the National Conference Championship game is between the 9-1 Chicago Force, who spanked my Boston team, I saw. And they are at the undefeated 10-0 DC Divas. So another interesting stat I got from neilrosendahl.com, the Divas have 108 victories all time, which is tied for the most of any WFA team. And they're both making their 12th playoff appearance, which is also tied for the most of any WFA team. And this will be the first time the Forts and Divas are meeting in the postseason. The only time that these historic franchises have met was when the Forts handed the Divas a 42-27 defeat on April 19th, 2014. So this match will certainly be a historic one and one that is fun to watch. So keep an eye out for the video. I bet it'll be up on YouTube after the game is played. So the teams have also been picked for the National Alliance Bowl. The Atlanta Phoenix will play the Central Cal War Angels, who both finished the season at 5-3. That game is at 4 p.m. on August 8th at the Southwest College in L.A. The National Championship game will be played immediately following the National Alliance Bowl, which will be the American Conference champion and the National Conference champion will face off in the National Championship. So you can go to the WFAstore.net for information on all the happenings for the 2015 WFA Championship weekend. You can buy tickets. They have hotel information. It is all in one place at WFAstore.net. So go ahead and get there. So now we are going to head over to the IWFL. IWFL Championship Week is July 22nd to the 25th. The IWFL World Championship is July 25th at District 3 Stadium in Rock Hill, South Carolina. This game will feature the Pittsburgh Passion versus the Utah Falcons. Tickets to the game are only $15, and you can get them at IWFL.BigCartel.com. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. And the IWFL All-Star Game is Saturday, July 25th. Kickoff is at 10 a.m. You can find the roster for the IWFL All-Star Game at IWFLSports.com. Also on the schedule for the IWFL Championship Week is the Affiliate Bowl, which kickoff is at 10 a.m. on Friday, July 24th. And later on Friday evening at 7 p.m. is the Founders Bowl kickoff. There are so many exciting events going on for IWFL Championship Week that you guys are going to want to check all of this stuff out and see it in action if you can. If you live in the South Carolina area, the Rock Hill, South Carolina area, definitely check it out and see, you know, these women play no-joke football, just like we say. They really are impressive to watch, so go ahead and get on that. So now we are going to move to the CIFAF, where the first ever All-Star game was played, and we want to send out a huge congratulations to Karen Cross, who won the MVP of the All-Star game in the CIFAF. So to the LFL, which is on Fuse TV and YouTube, on July 10th, the Atlanta Steam beat the Omaha Heart 71-13, which that is completely insane. Just for 71 points. The Heart have had an admittedly tough season where they haven't been able to win a game yet. The Steam saw quarterback Dakota Hughes throw for 4 touchdowns and run for another one. Unfortunately, the Heart lost their quarterback, Ananka Dixon, in the first quarter, which saw some issues with fumbled snaps, which ultimately led to the Heart having 7 fumbles in the game. So next, the Steam will face the Chicago Blitz in the Eastern Conference title game. The Steam have lost 3 straight to the 2-time defending LFL champ. And you can read more about the Steam versus the Heart and the Steam's 2015 schedule by reading Mike DeLorio's article at LFL360.com. That's where I got the statistics. His article is awesome, so you guys definitely want to check that out. We want to remind you guys to follow at Backseat Coach on Twitter for the latest results. And the official league websites are WFAFootball.com, IWFLSports.com, and LFLUS.com. And also, we want to remind you to visit NeilRosendahl.com. Neil is spelled N-E-A-L, and Rosendahl is R-O-Z-E-N-D-A-A-L.com for awesome and informative articles. So that does it for the women's rundown. That did not take as long as I thought it would, but there you go. So 71 points, Eric. How insane is that?
Well, when you take a look at the season that the Omaha Heart has had, I mean, it was pretty much expected. I mean, it was they just have had a rough season. I mean, they didn't score their first touchdown until this game.
I know.
And I was able to see the first half of the game, and they had not one, not two, but three quarterback changes in the first half. Because, like you said, Anaka Dixon, she went out with an injury. But the next two quarterbacks that came in, I mean, it was rough. I mean, they couldn't even get the snap from center. I mean, they looked like it was their first day learning how to play football. I mean, that's how bad it was. So they just had a rough year.
Man, I just feel bad for them. That's got to be so discouraging. Man. Now, do you think, okay, so obviously they had seven fumbles in the game with all these quarterback changes. Do you think that is that the only person practicing with the center is the starting quarterback? I mean, do you think that that's just, you know, you would think that the backup quarterbacks would be practicing with the center, practicing the snap, so that there aren't these type of issues, you know?
Right, you would think that that's what was happening, but, I mean, based on how the play looked, it didn't look that way. And if you look at the reaction of the head coach after the first quarterback change, he was looking at his coaches like, you know, what just happened? Like, how did she end up in the game? So, it wasn't your typical, you know, you put your hands under the center's butt and receive the ball that way. It started out as, you know, the quarterback would just get down like in a little crouch behind the center to try to catch the ball. That didn't work.
Catching it.
And then they tried the conventional way. That didn't work. So, I mean, it was just crazy.
I mean, you've seen, you know, watched NFL teams, how they practice snaps and they'll do it over and over and over and over. You know, they just repeat it until it is so drilled in you, this is how you snap it. I'm sure colleges probably do the same thing. Seems like maybe the heart need to take a couple of those drills and implement. I do feel bad for them, though. That's like I know I was reading, too, that this is the first game that the Heart have actually were able to score. And you got to think at that point that Atlanta was up so high, you know, up so far. I don't know what Atlanta's, you know, reserves look like, but I wonder, you know, how much of Atlanta had their backups in, you know, which led to Omaha being able to score. So,
well, from what I understand, pretty much everyone on the team got to play, for Atlanta. It's just that, you know, Omaha was just that bad. There were six different players from this team that scored. So that tells you it's not like they were trying to run up the score. They were, you know, spreading the ball around. It was just their night.
Yeah, well, and, you know, there's a point where you feel bad that you're kind of blowing somebody out, but you're still playing a game, and you can't just run around the field. I mean, you have a goal, and there's a point where you score. And, you know, like, people accuse, you know, teams of running up the score, but, you know, at what point are we supposed to stop, you know, playing the game, you know, essentially is kind of where you get that. What are you supposed to do?
Exactly. Just like Darth Vader, Bill Belichick says, if you don't like us running up the score, then stop us.
Yeah, there you go. See? In the NFL, that is not a thing. Like, the NFL running up the score, anybody who says that is stupid, because I have seen, you know, how many times have we seen teams come back? And so, we'll let up on you, and then you'll come back and beat us. Like, you don't want to be that guy.
Right. Exactly.
You don't want to be that guy. So the NFL, college a little bit, I've seen some, you know, but again, I just don't know what you're supposed to do when it's that easy to score and you're playing, you know, you've got, you know, 60 minutes of football that you have to play. So.
Exactly. Well, I mean, plus if you look at Atlanta's quarterback, Dakota Hughes, her stats passing, she was 9 for 13, 182 yards. So they only threw the ball 13 times. So that tells you they were trying to do their best just to, you know, not to keep running up the score. But, you know, like I said, it was just their night, and Omaha is just not that good.
Yeah. Well, and 13 passes and, you know, I mean, 9 completions and 4 of them are touchdowns. Pretty good percentage right there.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like the female Peyton Manning, though.
Really? That's pretty awesome. So hopefully the Hearts can work on issues, and I would really like to see them come back next year and, you know, with everything worked out. That would be like, I don't know, they, you know, they probably don't have awards, but it'd be cool. They could be like the comeback team of the year.
Oh, speaking of awards, and a lot of people didn't know this, but the LFL does have a Hall of Fame. And one of the Atlanta players, Lauren Ziegler, wide receiver and free safety, she was just nominated into the LFL Hall of Fame. But apparently they nominate current players because she's still playing. But anyway, big congrats to her for that nomination.
Yeah, definitely. That's way cool. I did not know they had a Hall of Fame. I didn't realize that. That's really cool.
Yep.
Nice.
So you learn something new every day.
That's the new thing I learned today. So, great. I appreciate you enlightening me. So, let's move to the NFL, where we saw a couple people signed. Demaryius Thomas says he wanted to finish a Bronco, retire a Bronco. He got a 5-year, $70 million deal that includes $43.5 million in guarantees.
Man.
So I personally think that's overpriced for a wide receiver. I don't think wide receivers should be paid that much. My personal opinion, I think typically wide receivers are injury-prone. Out of positions that you look at on an NFL team, the wide receiver is very injury-prone. And I feel like 5 years, Thomas has been pretty good as far as injuries, so 5 years, I wouldn't ever go longer than 5 years for a receiver, but that's a lot of money. I don't know what you think, Eric, but I think that that's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, definitely, but I don't know of anybody worth, you know, $43.5 million guaranteed. But, I mean, I understand the economics of it. I mean, you look at the way the game is played now, you need a superstar receiver. And that's the kind of money that they command now. Now, some of the previous contracts, like with Larry Fitzgerald and a couple of other guys, you know, those overinflated contracts that kind of set the standard for what is to come now. So that's part of a reason for it. But yeah, I mean, if you want to have somebody that's a top-notch receiver, you got to be willing to shell out the ducats.
It's just, to me, it's crazy. I mean, do you think for a wide receiver, let's say, and I know that, you know, when you see these overinflated contracts, it sets the standard, and they're always like, oh, I want to be the best paid. Quarterbacks are doing it all the time. But as far as what you look at, what wide receivers, like I said, injury prone, what are your thoughts on that as far as 5 years? Do you think that's too long to sign a wide receiver?
Well, I think 5 years might be stretching it for anybody, really, I mean, in this age of free agency. Because how many times have we seen someone outperform the contract that they're in? Now it's like, okay, you either give me more money or I'm going somewhere else. So, I mean, I would personally like to see, you know, like if I was an owner, putting myself in an owner's shoes, I would personally like to do something more like maybe a 3-year deal and, you know, X amount of, you know, guaranteed money depending on what the market is. But, I mean, yeah, 5 years, that's kind of stretching it for anybody, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was thinking 3 years to me is perfect. And I wouldn't pay a wide receiver this kind of money. I just wouldn't. Just because I was curious, I looked up Julian Edelman's contract. Julian Edelman's contract is 4 years, maximum value $19 million, signing bonus $5 million. So he's really not getting paid a ton of money.
Right.
But it's enough, and he's, you know, he's on a Super Bowl winning team. He's, you know, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, I guess you can demand big money. And, yeah, you're not going to say, no, I don't want that kind of money. But I, you know.
Right.
The organization that's offering it, I just think that they are setting too high of a standard there.
Yeah, and you, I mean, you bring up Edelman. The way I look at that situation is it's different in the sense that the Patriots have been able to get by with, you know, what I would call, you know, average receivers. And I say that because I would think if you put him on another team where he had to be the number one, I don't even think he would be able to carry that load. But I think he's in a situation where he's got one of the greatest quarterbacks in history, one of the greatest coaches in history, and, you know, they just know how to, you know, keep the wheels turning year after year after year, and he's been able to benefit from that. But I think if you put him in a situation where, you know, he's the number one guy and maybe there's, you know, two, three other guys behind him, you know, I don't think he'd be able to put up, you know, Dez Bryant or, you know, or Demaryius numbers.
Yeah, that's true. And it doesn't help that he's, you know, he's a slot receiver, so he's smaller, which Thomas
right.
and Bryan are obviously a lot larger. So they get those numbers because they can put him in situations you otherwise couldn't put Edelman because he'd be hurt, you know. So, yeah, they definitely have their different uses. You know, a slot receiver is way different than, like, a guy like Bryant or Thomas. You know, I'll be interested to see how Demaryius does this year, because I think this will be the first year that Demaryius doesn't have Julius. And I only say that
right.
because Julius got a lot of the throws from Peyton. I mean, he was getting target after target after target. And so Demaryius wasn't, you know, I mean, he was number one wide receiver, but yet he still had Julius that was taking a lot of the heat off him. He wasn't having to be the primary catcher all the time. So
right.
it'll be interesting to see how he does being primary. Like, I mean, I'm sure that the Broncos have tight ends that they're going to sign, but I doubt there'll be anybody in the caliber of Julius Thomas like last year. So
right.
that'll be interesting.
And that's a great point because a lot of great receivers, they've had someone on the other side to take away some of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at, like, Brandon Marshall, for example, with the Bears. I mean, there was another great receiver opposite him, but, I mean, just Jay Cutler targeted him so much, it was like he was the only guy on the
mm-hmm.
field. And you
mm-hmm.
see what kind of attention that commands, and it can make your productivity drop off. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so to be able to benefit from him and somebody else on the other side of the field where the defense doesn't always have to shift towards your side. I mean, that's a big help.
Yeah. It is. I mean, you look at, like, you know, we're talking about the Patriots. You look at what they're able to do. With Gronk on that other side, defenses never know. Gronk gets a lot of looks, but Edelman does too, but so does Amendola, you know. So,
right.
I mean, it's very spread around. And for the Broncos, I mean, it seems like now they don't have as many people to spread that around to. I mean, not people that have worked with Peyton for years. You know, I mean, I think this is Thomas's, what, third year with Peyton. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects the team.
Yeah, definitely, especially with all the losses they've had in the offseason with the, you know, the whole coaching
mm-hmm.
Staff going out, a whole other coaching staff coming in, you know, players leaving, coming and going. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out of the blocks this year.
Yeah. So now that we're talking wide receiver contracts, let's talk Dez Bryant. 5 years, $70 million. So it breaks down with a $20 million signing bonus. So he gets $20 million for signing his name on that dotted line. $7 million of it is deferred until March of 16. $3 million is fully guaranteed base salary for 2015. I wish someone would guarantee me $3 million. $9 million fully guaranteed base salary for 16. And the salary, this is interesting. I found this funny. The salary reduces by $500,000 if Bryant fails to complete the off-season workout. So if you wanted to entice him to off-season workouts, I would have increased that a little bit, because $500,000 to somebody who got $20 million for signing his name on a dotted line isn't much. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think they know that, you know, his passion for football is enough that they probably don't have to worry about him getting ready for the coming season. So I don't think that was a huge factor in their decision. But, I mean, just some of these workout bonuses that guys get. I mean, I know Matt Forte, he got, what, something like $200,000 just to work out. I'm like, I would kill for that.
Right?
I work out, what, 3-4 days a week, sometimes five. I mean, you know, somebody, you know, throw me a check.
I'd actually get my butt out and run if somebody would pay me to work out. So, but yeah, you know, and we, except for this contract issue, we haven't seen any issues with Dez Bryant ever working out or really being ready for the season. I'm not a huge fan of Dez Bryant, I'll be honest, but you know, to be honest, other than this contract dispute, I've never seen him not show up for things. I've never seen him, you know, have an issue. So,
right.
I don't, yeah, like you said, I don't think that's going to be an issue. So $13 million base salary for 2017, guaranteed for injury only at the time of signing, fully guaranteed if Bryant is on the roster the fifth day of the, you can tell a lawyer wrote this up, geez. So he's different anyway. $12.5 million non-guaranteed base salary for 18. The salary reduces by $500,000 if he fails to complete workouts. That's in all these. So through 19, $12.5 million guaranteed, non-guaranteed salary for 19. So their cap hits, I don't know. I think they're pretty high, but $7 million in 2015, $13 million in 16, $17 million in 2017, $16.5 million in both 18 and 19. So he will make $45 million over 3 years.
Yep, and I'm sure right about now his agent is his best friend.
Yeah, right.
That's enough money to last for, you know, a good 4 or 5 lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. His agent just went out and bought a new house.
Which also his agent is Jay-Z and Roc Nation. So I'm sure that's a feather in their cap to be able to, you know, market to a lot of guys coming out of college to say, hey, look what we did for Dez. We can do this for you.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. That's pretty much what this is, and that's why these agents push for these deals. They get more clients when they do it. So,
yep.
You know, I don't blame anybody for trying. Yeah, I don't blame anybody for trying to make money. I really don't. I mean, because anybody in that situation would do the same thing. You know, if they're
exactly
willing to pay, why not? You know? So.
Right.
Pretty crazy, though.
But also, another point about Dez's contract is Jerry has taken out the quote-unquote Dez rules, so there's no, you know, babysitter, if you will, or handlers, as they call them, but which is basically a glorified babysitter. So they feel like he's kind of behaved himself, so they've taken that out of the contract, so that'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens off the field.
Uh-huh.
Any issues with that?
That's so funny. Oh, babysitter, man. All right. Let's talk ESPYs. I'm going to be honest, I did get a little pissed off with one of these ESPYs, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Best male athlete, Stephen Curry. What do you think?
With that, it's, well, actually, some of those categories, for me, it seems like it's more of a, you know, who's hot now type of thing. Like, if the ESPYs
mm-hmm.
were, you know, farther back in the year, it probably would have been more so geared towards football or, you know, something that happens, you know, later in the year.
I see.
So not that I disagree with that decision, but, I mean, you know, he's obviously, you know, a great athlete, but I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, just coming off the, you know, winning the championship and, you know, the way they did it. And, right. So, but I mean, not a bad decision. I can live with it.
They could have done worse, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Best comeback, Gronk. Gronk got best comeback.
What was the comeback, though?
Well, so he was injured, but he wasn't injured. Well, I guess last offseason he was injured, wasn't he? It was just last offseason, I think, that he was injured. Remember, he had that back, all those problems. Wasn't that last offseason?
Yeah, I remember that.
I think that.
So I'm just like, that seems like somebody that should have, you know, maybe, you know, had like a bad year or, you know, had a down year or something like that, and they were able to come back from it. But I mean, his situation was just injuries.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe that's what the category was for. But it just seems like almost like the most improved, but, you know, just in a different way.
I know what you mean, because when I got the alert that Gronk got it, I was like, what? What? Why is Gronk getting best comeback?
Right.
We just won the Super Bowl. Like, he had a fine year, but then I remembered that he was injured. So that's, I guess, I don't know. Best game was Super Bowl 49, which I agree with. That or the women's final.
That.
It was either Super Bowl 49 or I would say the women's cup against Japan. Those were the two that I would have put up for that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Best team is the U.S. women's soccer team, which, like you said, that's kind of coming off of the win, like them winning it. So.
Yeah.
You could put so many teams for best team.
Yeah, I mean, they were fortunate to, you know, still be on that buzz or that high from winning that. So, you know, it just came right around the time when it was, you know, like the most popular decision to make, basically.
Mhm. Best record-breaking performance was Peyton Manning.
At the moment, I can't really remember any others.
Brady. Didn't he, with his playoff, AFC championships or something? Anyway, I don't know if that's true. I could have thrown that out there. But, yeah, Peyton Manning's a safe bet, to be honest. I mean, you know, he's always doing something. So,
yeah, I mean, plus he was dealing with a leg injury for a good part of the second half of the season, so...
that's true.
I can go with that.
Yeah. Best male college athlete. I love this. Marcus Mariota. Woo woo. I love Mariota. I was pretty happy about it.
Yes, you've made that point more than once. That's been made more than clear.
Yes. I liked it. I mean, he won the Heisman. I think it was kind of an assumed thing. When you win the Heisman, I don't know if they go hand in hand. I haven't looked at Heisman with the best male college athlete, but I would imagine, you know. So best upset was Mississippi over Alabama in the football. You remember when the Mississippi – oh, you're an Alabama fan, aren't you? So.
Yeah, so.
You probably remember that.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that upset, like that winning an award?
I can't really see how that's the best upset. I mean, only because, I mean, coming into that game, I mean, they're both ranked highly in the SEC, not only SEC, but, you know, overall. So, it's not like Alabama was playing, you know, Florida A&M or something like that and lost.
Yeah.
So, as far as best upset, I really don't agree with that.
Yeah, because, you know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, okay, best upset. And you can't even really say when the Patriots beat the Seahawks, because that's not an upset. That's just coming from behind. That's not an upset. They were both, it could have gone either way. An upset's when somebody's ranked super low, and then people say there's almost no chance they could beat them, and they beat them. You know, that would...
Right.
So I'm trying to think of games where that could be the case, but... maybe Ohio State, I mean, they did quite a bit that nobody thought they could do this year. You know, with losing all those quarterbacks they lost, that was a big deal. I mean, there was quite a few upsets in that situation.
Yeah, definitely. And I was fully expecting Oregon to beat them in the championship game.
Exactly.
But, I mean, they just came out and just took over the game, like, you know, like they had been doing it all year long.
Yeah. So I would say Ohio State in one of their games should get that award, but kind of my opinion. So best NFL player. I'm mad about this. Aaron Rodgers. Why did Aaron Rodgers get it? I want to know why. Doesn't even make sense to me. And I'm not saying Brady should have got it, because even though he was Super Bowl MVP, that was totally a team effort. So I'm not saying Brady should have won it. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers should have either. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And not trying to sound non-biased, because I'm a Bears fan, obviously. But I think that was more so based on what he's done in the past. Just like Stephen A. Smith says, Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. I get that. But I think, hands down, in my opinion, J.J. Watt had the best season of anybody. I mean, who's ever heard of a defensive tackle scoring 4 touchdowns in a season?
I know. I'm with you. I absolutely was the same way. I thought that J.J. Watt should have won best NFL player. There's a reason the players voted him number one on that list, you know?
Right.
I don't have an opinion on the Packers one way or the other. They're in the NFC. We don't play them that often. I know you do care about them, but I honestly feel like the Packers get special treatment in the media all the time. I mean, they're always talking about him. They're always talking about Aaron Rodgers. So I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers isn't talented, because he's, you know, I would say he's probably top 3 quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But why do they talk about him all the time? I want to know why. It's really irritating to me. Just irritating.
He's the golden boy. He's the State Farm guy. So
I know. He is the golden boy of the NFL, and it's, like, really irritating to me. I don't know why it irritates me so much, but it does. My husband gets sick of me talking about it. He's like, I get it. You're tired of it. I'm like, but I am. And I got tears of it all the time. And he's a Bears fan, so, I mean, he doesn't hate Aaron Rodgers, but he's tired of hearing that I don't like him. But still, I don't know. It's irritating to me. So I was really mad when he got it. I was like, again, really? Gosh. Anyway.
Yeah, that's how I was when Brett Favre was around. I got so sick of hearing his name.
Like, yeah, I bet.
I mean, it could be a game that he's not even in, and they're talking about him. It's like, shut up.
It's true, though. You'll be, like, watching a game, and all of a sudden, like, and that Aaron Rodgers, and I'm like, what? There's no jersey. There's no Packers. There's no,
right.
You know, and, like, you look at, like, Brady and Manning. They don't talk about him, I don't think, all that much. Like, they're not obsessed about, like, Aaron Rodgers is. I just feel like the media picks out certain people, and they just hammer on him all the time. All the time, it's all you hear about. And he went to the bathroom, and then he went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and then he went and had a car wash. And then I don't care. You know how much I don't care? Like, Tony Romo, I don't care. I don't care what he does. I don't care. So, as you can tell, I don't care.
I got you.
So, anyway, there's my rant. I had to get one in there. And it was an unintentional rant, but it turned into one. So, I'm going to get off the subject. Oh, man. All right. So, now that we're on ESPYs, we're going to bring up something controversial. The Arthur Ashe Award goes to Caitlyn Jenner. What do you think, Eric?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep.
Okay. This is my feeling on that. I don't think that award was intended for someone that, and maybe I'm, you know, simplifying this, or maybe, I don't know, some people may even say I sound like a hater, but the way I feel about it is that's a guy who just wants society's permission to be able to dress up like a woman, to look like a woman, and so that he can feel okay with wanting to do that. So I don't see how the Arthur Ashe Award, which is supposed to be given to someone that has shown, you know, that has gone above and beyond what is needed to show courage, I don't see how that, you know, a guy wanting to, you know, feel comfortable with being a woman, dressing like a woman, is showing courage. I mean, there's people that have overcome cancer to be able to play. There's people that have overcome, you know, serious injuries to be able to play, you know, just devastating things in their life off the field and have been able to come back and play. That's what that award is about. It's not about, you know, somebody that wants to make a big statement that, you know, hey, I want to be a woman and the world should accept me. You know, that, and that's just kind of my takeaway from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it was, I don't think she should have gotten it. There were other people that I feel like, and I don't want to diminish, I guess, the the courage that it took to kind of do what she's done, because to a certain point, you know, to reveal that. But it is a lot more accepted in our culture, that transgenderism, homosexuality, all that stuff is a lot more accepted. So not like she did this back in 1990 or 80 or, you know, when it would have been like, oh, my gosh, what is going on?
Right, right.
You know, you look at what Lauryn Hill had done, you know. There's Noah Galloway, the Iraqi war veteran. He had his leg and his arm amputated, and he, you know, continues to enter competitions, and he was on Dancing with the Stars, which I know that's totally trivial, but he's making a life for himself after something so devastating. So
right.
I feel like we just are now broadcasting, we're kind of setting a standard here that I think is wrong. And not, you know, I know that there's huge issues with transgender youth and suicide and all of that, and I'm all for helping these youth. I am. I'm all for helping transgender youth. And, you know, I hope that Caitlyn Jenner continues to try to help the youth, but I feel like giving this award to Caitlyn Jenner, you know, it just wasn't right. I just felt like we're sending a message out there that coming out as a transgender is more important, is more courageous than somebody who has fought the freedom for our country, or a teenage girl who fought through a brain tumor and played basketball and gave everything she had in life before the cancer finally took her. That's not the right message. I'm sorry. That's just not the right message. If you're transgender, I'm not against that. If that's how you want to live your life, but you chose that. People are gonna say we're born a certain way. I'm not gonna get in that argument. But you did essentially choose to do that with your life. These people didn't choose these things, you know.
Right.
So.
Nobody chooses to get their arm blown off, or, you know, something to that effect, or, you know, get seriously ill to where they almost die or die altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree. Yes, I mean, he chose to fight for our country, which is a valiant, very courageous decision. I mean, it's one that, you know, I didn't make, and I, you know, respect the people that do, and, you know, what they put their lives on hold, essentially put their lives in danger, and I just feel like those are the people we should be recognizing with these awards. So
exactly.
There you go. So now that we got all serious. All right. Well, we still have 15 minutes. Let's talk remaining NFL free agents on defense? Dwight Freeney, still available. Yes. We've talked about him before. He's still available. He's 35.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think his age and injuries is kind of is going to be a big factor for him as far as if somebody picks him up or not. Everybody knows he's a proven commodity. The issue is, can he get back to that? And I don't think most teams think that that can happen.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, Mr. Hit and Run himself, Brandon Sykes. Man. Dude, like, he totally blew it. The Patriots re-signed him after his stupid comments about Bill Belichick and his slavery and all that, right? So he leaves the Bills, comes back to the Patriots, and what does he do? He screws it up. I'm an idiot.
Yep. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking, what he thought he could accomplish by leaving the scene, or even, you know, the events leading up to that. But, I mean, you have an opportunity in your hands that millions of people would die for, and you just drop it.
You had the winning lottery ticket in your hand. Yeah. I mean, seriously, here is a tip to everybody. If you do something wrong, if you hit a car or do something, you just stay there. You don't leave. Just makes it work. Okay? So, it's unbelievable to me that people are still running, leaving the scene. It's always better to stay. Always better. Man. Anyway. He must have been drunk or something. But to me, that's the only reason you'd leave the scene is if you were, like, drunk or something else.
I mean, I've seen that before. I mean, like, you know, here in Chicago with Lance Briggs, I mean, one morning they found his Lamborghini all smashed up on the highway. Come to find out he had been drinking that night. So, I guess he avoided, some sort of, punishment due to the alcohol. But, I mean, still that just, kind of just blew up the whole situation that he wasn't with the car, when the cops arrived.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like, I don't know that the Patriots would have dismissed him if he would have stayed at the scene and faced whatever charges came to him. You know what I mean? I mean, they've hung on to LeGarrette Blount even though he's an idiot. I mean, Belichick's willing to, like, okay, I'll work with you as long as you're, hiding it and acting like, I don't know what happened, They're like, no, not okay, get out, So,
yeah.
I don't know who will pick him up, whatever. I don't really care, but he's an idiot. He made me mad. I had to unfollow him on Twitter. Just so y'all know, I did unfollow him on Twitter. And he probably cares. All right. Asi Umenyiora is still available. He's 34 years old, so he's getting up there too.
Yep. And last year he only had, two and a half sacks last year?
Yep.
So I think the theme with a lot of these guys is if they do get picked up, it'll be either late in training camp or more so beginning or mid-season after guys start going down or this guy doesn't work out like they thought this guy would. With a lot of these guys, it's just going to be a whole lot of wait and see what happens.
And then they'll get, 1-year contract, and they'll just have to wait and see what happens, Oh, since you mentioned hating hearing Favre's name, he was inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame. So
yes, that is correct. And
every
time I turn on the NFL Network, they're having some kind of tribute to Brett Favre. So
you shouldn't turn it on. I don't ever turn it on. I don't turn ESPN on. I don't turn NFL Network on because they make me so angry, I could put a hole in my wall. So. I don't turn
it on. That's rant material for you.
It's for sure. I just seriously, I can't even if I turn the TV on and I'll slip past it and my husband's like, So there you go. I cannot. Oh my gosh. Anyway. So. Yeah, I hear you. NFL Network makes me angry.
I shouldn't say the only thing, but one thing that used to really bug me about them and wasn't really their shows, but they would just run the same commercials over and over and over. Like every commercial break, it'd be the same commercials that they ran the last commercial break, and it'd be like two or three. So, I mean, that's kind of my rant on the network.
It's like when your kids have that one toy they want to play with, and they keep pressing the button and pressing the button and pressing the button.
And you're right.
I'm going to take those batteries out, and then that toy's going to disappear. yeah, like that.
Right.
I think it was Brandon Marshall. Yeah, I think Brandon Marshall said that Kyle Orton was the best quarterback he's ever played with.
Yeah, I heard something like that. So he actually did say that?
Wow. I saw it on the news. I'm pretty sure that he said that. Yeah, because I thought it said something like Kyle Orton was the best quarterback I ever played with. And I was like, who would say that? Who?
Well, so, I can see that. I mean, you know, he's not the athlete that Jay Cutler is, but he's also not an interception machine, not a turnover machine.
That's true.
I mean, you know, his rookie year at the Bears, he led them to 10 wins. In my opinion, he should have been in the Super Bowl instead of Rex Grossman. They would have won. But,
yeah,
you know, Grossman was in there throwing picks and fumbling the ball and getting sacked. So
he was so irritating. He was like Mr. Interception himself. Oh, he was the worst.
You mean Grossman?
Yeah. Yeah, Grossman, not Orton.
I mean, you know, how do you think I feel as a Bears fan? I mean, just week after week, you have to hear Lovie Smith going, Rex is our quarterback. Rex is our quarterback. Rex is our quarterback. It's like, why? I mean, I know they were winning that one year, but
yeah.
That was the only thing he could come back with. Well, why would I take him out? We're winning. But, I mean,
yeah,
you knew the end was coming, and it wasn't going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You just knew it wasn't going to end right. But yeah, I can see Marshall's point because, I mean, who did he play with? Jay Cutler twice. Who else did he play with?
Orton,
he was in Miami.
And, who was before Tannehill? Was it Pennington? Would he have played with Pennington? Is he old enough for Pennington?
I think he did play at Pennington. If he did, it was only a year or two. But,
if he wouldn't have those shoulder issues, Pennington would have been a good quarterback. He just could not stay healthy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you're right. When you look at the quarterbacks he's played with, I can see why he'd say Orton. all righty. That's just sad. I don't like Brandon Marshall, but I kind of feel bad for him, actually. So I think that kind of speaks to his individual talent, that he's racked up the numbers and receptions and all that he has playing with the guys he's played with, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I like him. You know, since he's, you know, started to get help for his, you know, mental issues, you know, he's gotten that under control. So, I mean, now he's a more likable guy than before. So, I mean, I like the guy. I wish there was a way they could have worked things out to keep him here in Chicago, but, I mean, I understand, you know, he was getting to be an issue in the locker room. You know, he was kind of, as much as Jay Cutler says he likes him, you know, he was kind of starting to wear out his welcome there with Jay Cutler, so. But yeah, I mean, I like him. You know, he's a beast. So we'll see what happens with Geno Smith. Yeah.
Oh gosh, I can't even believe they're gonna start Geno Smith. Ugh, so ridiculous. Whatever. I'm too tired to discuss the Jets. we could be here all night. Man.
Yeah, that's easily a one-two-day show we would have to do.
For sure. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
I think we pretty much covered everything that I thought of.
Throw all in
that time
of
year where not a whole
lot's
going on.
I know. I saw that. Did you see that? That Terrell Owens said that the Hall of Fame doesn't mean that much to me.
Who said that?
Terrell Owens. He says he doesn't care if he gets in or not. Whatever. I think he's lying.
Oh, yeah, that's a big-time lie right there. I mean,
who doesn't want to be
still
in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think mentally he's still at that in that stage where he's thinking that, okay, there's still a possibility that somebody might pick me up.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I think if he was at the point where he just was like, I'm done, you know, I either don't want to play or I know for sure nobody's going to come, you know, try to pluck me out of obscurity, then he'd be like, okay, yeah, being on the Hall of Fame is cool. You know, I hope it happens. But, yeah, I think he's just still being delusional that somebody's going to, you know, try to pick him up at some point.
Yeah. Maybe that's true. That's the only way I could see you saying that the Hall of Fame didn't matter is if you were still hoping to be relevant and play.
Yeah. And, I mean, I can get it from a certain extent because, I mean, he still works out as if he was still playing. I mean, I've seen current players talk about, you know, they worked out with T.O. You know, he ran 5 miles and then, you know, went in the weight room and, you know, he's doing that like every day. You know, he still works out with guys in the league, you know, just to, you know, try to keep his skills up. And they're like, man, I wonder why he's not playing. But, I mean, dude, you're, what, 40-something, haven't played in how many years, and, you know, you still think somebody's going to come get you? No, just give it up, man.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, lastly, I do have to mention that one of my favorite offensive linemen, Dan Connolly, retired from football in the Patriots due to health reasons. He's had some concussions, and he said that it's important for him to be able to be there for his kids and walk away on his own terms. And that he feel like he got everything out of football, playing 10 years, winning a Super Bowl, and playing alongside some really great players. I'm pretty sad. I really like Dan Connolly, but I get it. I can respect making a decision like that to, you know, so you could, you know, be healthy for your kids and, you know, the rest of your life. Anyway.
Yeah. Plus, that's big because a lot of guys don't get to call their shots. I mean, almost everybody, you're out either due to injury or because nobody wants you anymore. So it's very rare to be able to say, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah. And to finish it on a Super Bowl, I mean, that's pretty awesome. You know what I mean?
Yep.
What better way to go
out? On the mountaintop.
Exactly. But it will be interesting after losing Logan Mankins last year and now losing Dan Connolly this year. Our draft picks may get a shot at it, and the rest of the linemen better step it up. Brady's not somebody you want to let get sacked for sure. So I'd say I'm a little nervous for the offensive line for the Patriots. A bit.
Yeah, I think the Patriots will get it figured out. I mean, I don't know what it is they do up there, but it seems like year after year they're in contention. And I know that the rest of the division, you know, isn't super great, but I mean, still, when they get into the playoffs, typically they'll go deep into the playoffs, not just one and done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they'll get something figured out there.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, Belichick's not one to let a commodity like Brady, you know, be in danger. So I'm sure they will get it figured out. Every year I have to remind myself I have to trust Bill Belichick because he hasn't really ever done anything to prove that he's anything other than the football genius Darth Vader he is. he's a Darth Vader that wins, though, that's for sure. Well,
now, if he can just stay out of the controversies, then he'll be even better.
Yeah. Man, we got set up. I'm not even gonna go there. Namaste. I'm
not gonna take the bait.
I'm not. No, Eric. I see what you're trying to do. I see it. I almost did, though. I almost went there. See that? Oh, man. Yeah. See, you already know me. You already know how to push my buttons.
Yep.
And they're pretty obvious, though. So it's not like I try to hide them too much. All right.
Yes, we know it's a sensitive issue, so. So we'll keep it moving.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, that does it for us today. Women's playoffs and NFL news, SBs, all that good stuff. So we want to thank you for listening. We want to thank you for sharing our hashtags on Instagram and Twitter. We really appreciate it. We want to make sure that you share our podcast weekly on social media. So follow us on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty. You can find me on Twitter at PatsFangirl12. Go to GridironGirl.org on Twitter. You can find Kishi on Twitter at Kishi's Cuties. Kishi spelled with a K, Cuties spelled with a C. You can find Eric on Twitter at FitForLife, life spelled with a Y. Remember the contest that ends July 31st. Take a selfie and tweet it or Instagram it to Gridiron Beauties for a chance to be wearing a No Joke Football tee for a chance to be win a $100 Victoria's Secret gift card. So go to our shop to get cool stuff at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. And we will catch you next week, everybody. And Kishi, we miss you. We love you. And we hope you are doing okay. And our prayers are with you. Everybody, we will talk to you next week. Have a good night. Bye.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.